Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Cheers, guys. So if the stewards could come up
to where you are good. I pray for all of us here this morning, Lord, that would be our experience of you, Lord. That we would taste and that we would see that you are good. Lord, as we get into the Word of God now this morning, and as the time ahead of me, Lord, is short to preach a word, I just pray for clarity of thought and speech and mind. I pray for the listeners, Lord. I pray that you inspire them, Lord. Build them up. Break open your scriptures to them this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just for our prayers, there's a number of prayer pointers this morning to pray for David Crook's fiance, Michelle. Had a surgical procedure last week. 90% of a malignant growth was removed, and continue to pray for the Lord's healing and His perfect will to be done in that situation. Also close to home, Andrew and Sherry, as we know, had a loss in their lives. Sherry's dad passed away, and the funeral was this past Friday. So to be keeping them in our prayers as well. Internationally, we pray for the victims and the families of the shooting, the school shooting that happened in Florida. And a few weeks ago, we prayed for rain in Cape Town. It's raining. After 3 years of no winter rainfall, well, they had some summer rainfall now, I received a message on my answer phone at home saying, "Can you hear the rain?" Thank you to the church in Bakersfield for praying. God hears all our prayers. He's good. We come to the conclusion of our sermon season, Be the New. And I pray that 2018 has been a good year for you so far. A year of breakthrough, a year of God doing unstoppable things in our lives. I am so expectant of the Lord for what He's going to be doing in 2018. And already He's been doing a lot. Think of our communion service last month with all the testimonies of God's goodness and God's healing and God's favor and God's grace in people's lives. Now look, I'm going to shorten my message as much as I can. And we're going to be talking about awestruck Christianity. And here in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, we see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Our atmosphere matters. All of us have an atmosphere about us. You can walk into a room and you can light up the room. You can walk into the room and you can literally be the storm cloud in the room. And look, let's be perfectly frank with one another. I don't think other people are as stupid as we sometimes think they are. People pick it up, don't they? People see it. When a rain cloud comes, very often you can smell the rain before it arrives. God's given us natural senses. We also have spiritual senses, and we can pick up on things. I love that new song. I've never heard it before, Toby, what you opened with this morning. I hope I can find the words here. I'm going to go through someone's list. How do I say thank you, Lord? You don't have to come, but you always do. You show up in splendor and change the whole room. The early disciples were filled with awe. I'm praying that back into the church. We live in an age of entitlement. We're all entitled to something. We think church is like the tennis club or the country club or the gym. We pay our dues and we get what we expect. I mean, by definition, awe is a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. That means that there's a wonderful aspect to being filled with awe. But there's also a fearful aspect, the fear of the Lord. And Christianity is not always comfortable. Jesus never promised, follow me and it will be a bed of roses. I don't know if you remember preaching from the 80s. Give your life to Jesus and everything will come right in your life. You remember that preaching? Some of you do. Well, the fact of the matter is, when we step out for the Lord, things can start going wrong in the most perfect, right kind of a way. Just like these early apostles and disciples. They were mocked and ridiculed and thrown in prison and whipped for their faith. They were stoned to death. But they had a sense of awe. And I would say that maybe we don't see miracles as we should be seeing in the modern church. Because we're filled with criticism. Nowhere in Scripture do we see criticism as a spiritual gift. I don't know, go search it. I've read the Bible cover to cover. I've searched the spiritual gift. It's not there. The spiritual gift is supernatural stuff that God gives to us. Welcome back. The spiritual gift is supernatural stuff that God gives to us. Why does God give His body gifts? To edify, to exhort, to build up His body. Jesus doesn't call us to put on a talent show in church. Because there's sometimes nothing supernatural about talent. Can be so about self. But the call is on our lives to be open to the spiritual gifts in our lives. There's a great list in Romans and there's a great list in 1 Corinthians 12 and it's faith. It's miracles. It's healings. It's prophecy. Amazing stuff. That's not a talent. Whoa, that's not a talent show. Only what God can do. And this is a church filled with awe. They didn't go and have roast pastor and roast worship team members for Sunday lunch with a bit of mint sauce thrown in. Filled with awe. You know, people wonder, they often ask me, I don't understand why my family doesn't serve the Lord. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. We all desire for our kids to serve the Lord. And we all done our level best. And we're all still doing our level best. And in minister circles, we've got something called PKs. We've got pastor's kids. And pastor's kids see a lot. Pastor's kids hear a lot. We have a rule at home. We don't talk about anything other than God's supernatural power in His church in front of our kids. And there's a study in the manse. For those of you who visited us there will know there's a study in the manse. And if we want to talk about anything church, it happens in the study. Or on the premises, yeah. Because we don't want a critical spirit breaking our kids' spirit. I hear so many pastors who tell me how congregation members have destroyed their kids' faith. Because of the critical, ugly, unrighteous, filthy Spirit. Let our words be words of encouragement, filled with awe. So, I'm going to cut out many pages, and we're going to go cut out much in the presentation. We're going to go to a big quote. Thank you. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. Let that sink in. This is the divide line, the line in the sand this morning. Are you going to join the soul-winning team? We are responsible for this generation of souls. Once David had won his generation and did all that was right in God's eyes and lived God's plan, he could go to his grave a peaceful man. I'm on planet Earth for one reason, to win a generation of souls for the kingdom. That's it. That's my life mandate, to win a generation of souls. And we've been talking about that at this church. We've been talking about our vision being the church of today for tomorrow. This church being a church who call people to follow Jesus. Jesus never lowered himself to the lowest common denominator. He always expected people to come up. He never watered it down. You know, it's like, I really like steak. Nice, rare steak. So how did I get to eating steak? Did I start off on spinach first and butternut to get the taste of iron? My first bite into steak, nice and rarely done, was an amazing gastronomic experience. I didn't tell you, you've never had steak before. We suggest you try the spinach. And we kind of do that with church. You don't really come to church. We suggest maybe you skip the worship. Have the liquidized version. Jesus is real. And let's give people the real thing. This is the generation. And there's a vision. There's a vision of this that comes out of an awe. And I believe there's just a few little points here, and I'm going to motor through them. Number one, the church I see is a church which gives an awe-struck welcome. Look at the beautiful verse from Revelation. And Revelation has been quoted already in our prayer meeting this morning. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let everyone who hears, come. Let the one who is thirsty, come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. Folks, I see a church where we, this is for us now. How are we going to win this generation of souls? Just a few little thoughts this morning. We can give an awe-struck welcome. A few weeks ago in our pre-service prayer meeting, seems to be a really important prayer meeting. So much goes on there. There was a sense of prayer that when people walk into church on a Sunday and as the greeters greet them, there's going to be a sense of Jesus greeting them. And I got a testimony that Sunday after the service. Somebody saying when so-and-so greeted them on the welcome team that morning, it was like the Holy Spirit himself welcomed them. And forgive me if I want to do a stage dive. That is just so amazing. An awe-struck welcome. Broken my mic. Oh, it's back on. There we go. Maybe you should stand still and preach. Maybe that's the sign. How do you speak about God's awe and stand still? I don't know. It's like running a marathon and being a spectator. It just doesn't work. An awestruck welcome. How do you do it? We welcome people in Jesus' name. This isn't a gospel club. This isn't Buckhurst Hill Baptist Club. We're the church of the Most High God. And we welcome people in Jesus' name. We welcome them with their hurts. We welcome them with their hang-ups. We welcome them, whoever they are in life. They can be a lord, they can be a lady, whoever they are. We welcome them in Jesus' name. And we've all got a role to play in that. It's not only for the welcome team. I need all of us to be a welcoming people. You know, the father of the modern cell group, life group movement, Ralph Nader, powerful man of God who planted churches all around the world, east and west, and always started with a handful of people who knew nothing about church. Because he reckons that's the best to build with. He always said in all his conferences, he'd say, turn to the person next to you and say, the Jesus in me greets the Jesus in you. Some people coming in will have Jesus in them. Some people won't. But we welcome them in Jesus' name. You can do that. It's the most beautiful welcome you can give to someone, because it's the peace of God. It's the blessing of God. Somebody feels like they've come home. Church on a Sunday should feel like welcome home. I don't know, when I see my parents, they're at Cape Town International Airport, I mean, that barrier between the passenger and the public just disappears. It's welcome. Our barriers disappear. It's welcome. Welcome home. We need you to do that. We all can do that. We welcome people in Jesus' name. And if people are thirsty, they will drink. They will drink. The worship will be wonderful. Thirsty. Thirsty. For the thirsty, worship is wonderful. For the thirsty, the Word of God is wonderful. Got to move on. The next thing we see happening in the early church, and I'm trusting the Lord for the vision in this church, is an awestruck serving. Everyone is needed. You are needed. Every single one of us is needed. And when we serve, it's an awestruck serving. It's like, oh, I've got this terrible job to do at the church. I'm really paying for my sins doing this job on a Sunday. Then please don't do it. Jesus paid for your sins. Awestruck. It's wonderful. There's no greater privilege in all the world than standing and living my gift and presenting the Word of God to you. It didn't start from behind the pulpit. My first job in the church was cleaning the toilets as a young man. The pastor said, oh, you want to preach? Or he didn't say you want to preach. He said, I recognize you have a preaching gift. But before you do that, we've got a lawn to mow and toilets to clean. Him who cleans the throne gets to sit on the throne. Service is wonderful. None of us are ever too high and lofty to pick up the Hoover or do something. Wow. And it's not what I want to do. The Holy Spirit, and I've already preached on this, I'm not going to expound on this as I wanted to in this point, but the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts. I don't choose, oh, I feel like this, or I like this, I'm comfortable. Believe you me, when we are awestruck, it's fear and wonder. You know, you're a beautiful bunch of people. But it can be a scary job standing up here sometimes. You're a wonderful bunch of people, a wonderful Christian community. But it can be a fearful job sometimes chairing a church meeting. The antiperspirant really comes in handy sometimes. But it's not my calling, it's not my choosing. It's what God has ordained. It's an awesome serving. It's, yes, Lord, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. And wherever you want me to go, Blair, I'll do it in your name for you. It's as simple as that. It really is. And God's blessing flows through unity. You know, don't think you can serve in the church and not be in unity with the church. It just never happened in the book of Acts. There is a unity, a bonding, a togetherness, and a love. The brothers and sisters, they sold everything they had, possession, property. And that's a great test. You know, find out how much you love a fellow Christian in the church directory. Are you willing to sell your house for them? That went down like a lead balloon. We're going to go on to the next point right now. From awestruck serving to an awestruck change. We welcome people in Jesus' name. And it's the name of Jesus that changes us. It's the person. Once we have a relationship with Him, we've opened our hearts. We've gone from being that goat to the sheep. And I do love goats. My kids love going when we go on holiday in Cornwall to a farm, and there's sheep and goats. And they talk to both of them. But Jesus gave the example of sheep and goats. Probably to know the difference in our hearts. An awestruck change. Look at Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be. That's why we do an altar call, an appeal, Sunday after Sunday, to give people that opportunity to be life-changing. Life-changing. Galatians 6:20. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus loves us too much to leave us the way we are. An awestruck change. When we see Jesus, He changes us. Remember Jesus, He used to say the same. He used to heal people and say, go and sin no more. We don't come to church to have a top-up of God and go and live a sinful life in the week. Romans 12 talks about our bodies being a living sacrifice. That is the acceptable worship to God. That's how we do it. We can't come wave our hands and tell God something new. We've been doing it all week anyway. And who may ascend to the hill of the Lord but those who have clean hands, clean hands, clean hands, clean hands, and a pure heart. What have your hands cost someone else? God wants you to clean your hands. Awestruck change. And lastly this morning, how's that? An awestruck prayerfulness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In the context of a crowd being around Him, and He went off and He prayed. If Jesus needed to get with the Father, to be re-envisioned, to be refilled for wisdom, for power, how much more do we? Lonely places. Places away from the voices of others. We all have many voices in our ears. To get with God. God, what's your voice saying to me? Wow. And we're entering a time of prayer and fasting. And Jesus taught His disciples to pray in Matthew 6. And I'm going to conclude with this. It's not on the overhead, the laptop, forgive me. It was a bit of a time warp and overhead. Remember that? Jesus prayed with power and authority. The disciples were praying. The disciples were praying the oft-repeated prayers of the Torah. Nothing wrong with that. But when they saw Jesus pray with power and authority, they wanted to do the same. So Jesus presented to them the Lord's Prayer, not as another kind of off-pat ritualistic prayer, try to give us some key insight. First of all, it starts off, we know, with our Father. In other words, during this time of prayer and fasting, in all of our prayers, let's have an awestruck prayerfulness. Let's know who we are talking to. God is the King of Kings. God is ruler over all, yet He's our Father. He is our Abba Father, our Daddy God. I know that freaks some of us out. But it talks about relationship. Relationship. Our Father. A personal relationship. Again, knowing Him, there's a clear divide from going through rote prayers to personal, faith-filled prayers. You know, many Christians have no problem about God changing the world. The problem they have is with asking God to change them. And God can't change the world till He changes us first. I don't know what we expect God to do. Oh Lord, do such and such for such and such. What do we expect Him to do? He expects us to do something. We talk to our Father. Next, our hearts are thankful. A thankful heart is always a good conversation starter. Have you noticed? Conversation in the care center after the service, and I'm going to come to a close now. Oh, He really carried on forever. I'm actually so thankful that He spoke about an awestruck service. It really helped me. Wow, what a different conversation. You're going to leave feeling a bit more invigorated and a bit more challenged than, oh, everybody's moaning. Oh, it's just the same at work. The same everywhere. A thankfulness. Then we, next, number three, an awestruck prayerfulness asks for God's will. We live in a world that's got so confused about right and wrong. Our futures, politically speaking, are so uncertain. But God has a plan for every life, and it's a good plan. So we ask for God's will. Next, we pray the small and the big. Jesus said, to pray for our daily bread. For most of us, bread isn't a very big thing. It's not like going to buy a fillet steak now, is it? It's bread. And so often we say, oh, I can't bother the Lord with my small little request. Yes, you can. For daily bread. But also ask Him for the big things. As a dad, I love it when my kids ask me big things that I simply cannot do for them. But I have a Heavenly Father who I can ask big things, and everything is possible with Him. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Then we come with the right heart. James 5:16 says, our hearts have to be right with God and with one another, otherwise God will not hear our prayers. I don't need to preach on that. It's simple. Discerning the body of the Lord. That's the line. You're either in or you're out. You make that choice. I can't make it for you. Then we pray Scripture. Don't pray our will or Lord. It would be nice if you sorted out this way. I mean, a friend of mine, are we going to pray a prayer and together we're going to work it out? No, no, no. There's power in agreement. Power in agreeing on God's Word. That no matter what the doctor's report looks like, no matter what the accountant says, it's God's Word that prevails. His Word came out in the prayer meeting, will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent. This generation of Christians is responsible for the next, for this generation of souls on the earth. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. Let's join as a church this week in awestruck prayer for for the Lord. Let us pray. Maybe there's some personal repentance that needs to take place. Repentance, we know, meaning 180-degree turn. You were going down one path and you've realized, okay, I'm on the wrong path. I'm going to turn around. follow Jesus and his ways. And all struck welcome, all struck service, all struck change, and all struck prayerfulness. It's not rocket science, the kingdom of God, but it is up to you and me. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light. Have you lost your saltiness? Has your light become dark? Is it time to say, look, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm going to heed all the words that have gone out today. I've put pride in my pocket. And I'm going to just give over to you and trust in the name of Jesus. Be welcomed into the most awesome family in the world, the Christian family. You're a Christian, you've been serving the Lord for a long time. It doesn't exclude you. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent. Don't wash your hands of it. Go make right where you need to make right. It's a word from the Lord for someone here today. Make right. Make right. Make right. As far as it is possible with you, live at peace with all. Go make right. If you've done something to harm someone, go make right. If you've stolen from someone, go repay them. If you've done something to harm, go make it right. Clean hands. Forgive us, Lord. God wants to see a body of Christ here. Not a man-made Frankenstein. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. When we try to push and shove, put in our ingredient. Make us your body. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you want to recommit your life to the Lord or give your life to Him for the first time, just pray this prayer in your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need you. Please forgive me. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you. Every eye still closed, every head bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like to give you a little booklet, but I'd like you to just to make a public confession and say, I prayed that prayer. Either as a recommitment or for the first time. Just slip it up. I believe God honors a public confession. God bless you. Anybody else? One person. Amazing. Lord, you've seen the one hand go up today. Reach out to that person in an awesome way.